an exciting morning to get to preach God's Word. I've never done the Vacation Bible School sermon, so this is exciting. It's almost like casual Friday. You know, I get to wear a t-shirt, and I was very excited about that. Dad texted me earlier this morning and said, hey, you don't have to wear a suit, so I'll put my t-shirt on. And I'm excited to have all the children out here with us. This is very, very exciting for me to get to bring God's Word. And we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6, if you want to go ahead and turn there in your Bibles. As Brother Ricky told us, we've been in a family series. And one of the reasons that we do a family series is because God cares deeply about the family. Family was God's idea. It was His design. When He created Adam in the garden, He said, it's not good that you should remain alone. I'm creating you a helper. And the two became one. And then He says, be fruitful and multiply. So we see that family is God's design. We see that God reveals Himself as a father to us. We see that Jesus reveals Himself as the Son and also our brother. So we see that family is very theologically based, and God cares deeply about the family. In fact, if you remember Abraham, in Genesis chapter 12, God looked at Abraham and said, hey, I'm going to turn you into a huge family. Your family is going to become a nation, and I'm going to bless your family like crazy. And the reason I'm going to bless your family is so through your family, all the families of the earth will be blessed. So I think that's a real worthy goal for each one of our families. As you think about maybe you're part of a family, maybe you have a family of your own, is your family, in whatever capacity, is God blessing other families for His namesake through your family? I think that's what me and Katie really desire in our home, is that God would use our family, not just for our good, but that He would bless us so that we could be a blessing to others and ultimately show people how great our God is. So this morning we're going to deal primarily with children. And that's a good thing because we have all the children out here, and God has some very important things to say to you. And what I want to start by saying is that here we have this letter in Ephesians that we've been spending a little time with, and we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6. And Paul is writing this letter to a church. They would have stood up and they would have read this letter. And the clause we're about to read in this letter, Paul addresses children. He says, children, and then he gives the children exhortation. And I know that doesn't seem like a big deal today, that a preacher would get up and address the children, but I would dare say in Paul's day, this was a huge deal. You see, in their culture, children weren't of much value. In fact, if you remember when children came to Jesus, what did the disciples try to do? They tried to push the children away from Jesus, thinking Jesus is a rabbi, He's a teacher. He doesn't have time for children because children aren't of much value. Some of the historians say that a lot of the rabbis didn't even think you should teach children the Bible until age 12. Because before that, they were useless, is what a lot of people thought in that society. And even fathers had absolute authority over their kids. When a child was born, the father would thumbs up and say, I'm welcoming this child into my home. If the father said thumbs down, he could abandon that child and simply leave the child to die. He had absolute rights over his kids. He could turn them into slaves. He could sell them as slaves. Or he could even sentence them to death for disobedience. So you can imagine children weren't that valuable in their culture. And here, Paul does something that would have shocked his audience. He addresses the children specifically. So I can imagine when this first letter was written in the first century, these kids are in the audience thinking, I'm not very valuable. And then all of a sudden their ears perk up when they hear children. And they're thinking, Paul's addressing me in this letter. God is addressing me in this letter. That must mean that I do have value. I do have dignity. I do have worth. And here's what I want you to know, that is absolutely right. God cares deeply about you as a 2-year-old, a 3-year-old, a 5th grader, a 3rd grader. You are valuable to Him, and He has something even to say to you this morning as He addresses the children. So, in light of that, since I think children are extremely important, I absolutely love children, I think they're a blessing from the Lord, and because we are addressing children, if it's okay with you guys, I would like all of the children who are VBS age, that's 2 or 3, all the way up to 5th grade, to come and join me down here on these steps. Because Paul is addressing you this morning, so I want to address you. Now, if you need to bring your bigger brother, that's okay. If you need to bring your bigger sister, that's okay. If you need mom to come with you, that's perfectly fine. But if you could just come, sit on these steps, I think God has something very important that is specifically just for you. This isn't for mom. This isn't for dad. This is specifically for you. So if we could just gather, you can use the top steps there. Man, give a round of applause. Look at all these children. All right. Now, the first thing, before we get into this letter, before we get into the exhortation, there's a few things you need to know, and I'm going to guarantee all of you know this, but I just want to remind you, okay? The first thing that I want to remind you is that God is creator. How many of you guys knew that? God is creator. All right. Now, most of us know that, but that's a very important point, because here's what that means. It means that He is the authority, and He has the right to tell you what to do. So if God says something, what should you do? Obey, right? Do it. So, God is creator. So, everybody repeat, God is? Creator. Very good. Now, here's the second thing that we all should know. You are His creation. So, say, I am His creation. I am His creation. All right, very good. So, that's very important for you to know as we get ready to look at these next verses. Because of that, because God is creator, we are His creation, we should do what? Listen and obey. Okay, so here's what God tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. I've got the verse on the screen if y'all want to turn your heads on that. But it says this, children, obey. Everybody say that with me. Obey. So He says, children, here you guys are children. Here's His first word. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, for this is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. So, here's the very first thing that Paul tells us to do. He tells us to obey. Now, I know it's kind of hard to, when you hear a sermon, to listen to all the points and really remember them. So I want to really try to help you with this, okay? So, here we're going to do some hand motions. So everybody get your hands up like this, okay? Now, in order to remember that we are supposed to what to our parents? Obey. I want you to make an O. Everybody got your O? So, we are to obey our parents, right? So that's the A. No, that's the O. Now, the other thing that we are to do is to honor our father and mother. So to honor our father and mother, I want us to make an H. So everybody, your right hand straight like this. Everybody got your right hand straight? Just like that. And your left hand, I want you to make a cup and put it together. Lowercase H. Honor my father and mother. So, here we go. The first thing we should do is what? Obey, right? The next thing we should do is what? Honor our father and mother. All right, so I want us to look a little bit on what it means to obey. Now, this is very important because I think we sort of miss on what it means to obey. Now, here's what it means to obey your father and your mother. When your parents tell you to do something, what should happen?
Do it.
Oh, that was perfect. Look at that. Yes, I like that. Do it. That is exactly right. That's what it means to obey your father and mother. You should do it. Whatever they say, you should do it. Because you know what? They are almost always right, and they will lead you in the right way to go. So you need to obey them. Now, here's what it means to obey. You have to obey without challenge, without excuse, and without delay. Now, I'm going to give you an example of these so you know what this looks like, okay? Me and Kreider deal with this a lot, all right? I have to go through these with him. So, here's the deal. You're playing with some toys. How many of you guys like playing with toys? Everybody like playing with toys, video games, all that kind of stuff. So, you've got something out on the floor, and you're playing with it, and it's almost bedtime. You know that time, you're like, you're trying to get those magical hours in, you're trying to keep going, it's almost bedtime, and you're like, you're hoping mom and dad are not watching the time. You know it's about time for bedtime, you got your toys out, and your dad comes in and says, Tucker, I need you to pick up your toys. So, Tucker's mom or dad has given him a command. I need you to pick up your toys. Now, this is what a challenge would be from Tucker. No. Now, I'm dealing with that with Kreider a lot. I'll tell him something, his first reaction just automatic is no. And that is a challenge. And a challenge is what? Disobedience. Okay? So when your parents ask you to do something, never say no. Never say, I don't want to. That is a direct challenge to your parents' authority. So instead of saying no, what should you say? Yes. And not only say yes, but do what? Actually pick up your toys. Okay, now next would be an excuse. So now we come to Tucker, and his dad says, Tucker, I need you to pick up your toys. And Tucker says, but. That should never happen when your parents tell you to do something. That word but is a bad word when it comes to dealing with your parents. Never say but. Tucker says, but I need just a little more time. Or, but I'm halfway through the game. Or, but it's not quite bedtime yet. And what you're doing, you're making some excuse for the reason why you shouldn't really pick up your toys. But it's just 7:50 and bedtime's not till 8. That is an excuse. And an excuse is disobedience. Okay? So, the last one is delay. And here is where, again, Mom and Dad come to Tucker. Tucker, I need you to clean up your toys. And Tucker says, I will in a minute. Have you guys ever said that before? I will in a minute. I will later. Or you say yes, and your parents walk away, and they come back 10 minutes later, and guess what? Your toys are still out. And they say, I told you to pick up my toys. You say, yeah, I'm going to pick them up later. That's not obedience. Delayed obedience is still disobedience. So, here's the deal. When your parents come at you to do something, they say, hey, I need you to pick up your toys. What should your response be? Yes. You know, it'd be really cool. Like a yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. And then, what are we going to do? Start picking up our toys, right? So, we've got the O. Everybody show the O. We're going to do what? Obey our father and mother. Why should we obey? Because God said this is right. And God is who? Creator. You are what? His creation. So we should do what he says, right? So the next one we're going to look at is honor. Everybody put up your H. Everybody remember your H? It's like this. Now, honor is connected to obedience, but it means even a little more than just what obedience means. It means to have a good attitude towards your parents. It means to love your parents. It means to respect your parents. So, this is what this means. When they ask you to do something, you don't give this. Okay, fine. Whatever, I'll do it. Right? That's not honoring your father and mother. This is where rolling the eyes comes in. How many of you guys got that down pat? The roll your eyes. Okay. Like, I know more than my parents do, right? That is dishonoring your parents, and that is what God doesn't want you to do. He wants you to honor them, to have a proper attitude towards them, to love and respect them. After all, guess what? They birthed you. That's what my mom used to always tell me. I birthed you, son, so you owe me some love here. They brought you into this world. They care for your needs. They provide you a place to live. They do all of this stuff for you. So guess what your response should be? Mom and Daddy, I love you. I enjoy being around you. I respect you. So when you get home, instead of always running to your room and getting out the toys, guess what you should want to do? Spend some time with who? Mom and Dad. Because they are amazing in your life. God has provided them in your life for you to honor and love them. So, what are we going to do? Number one, we're going to do what with our parents? Obey our father and mother, for this is right. And then second, we're going to do what? Honor our father and mother. And you know what's cool? The honor command, it actually comes with a promise. God says, if you'll honor your father and mother, if you have a good attitude towards them, if you respect and love them, it will go well with you and you'll live long in the land. In other words, if you will respect and honor and listen to your parents and follow their advice, guess what? Things will go better in your life than if you dishonor and disobey them. Because I want to tell you a secret. Your parents really do know more than you. I know that sounds crazy, right? And you're saying, you don't know my parents. But I do know most of your parents. And I'm telling you, they know more than you. That's why God has put them over you. So they can direct you and guide you. A lot of times you're going to think, Mom's telling me this, it's going to be way more happiness if I do the other thing. But guess what? That other thing is probably going to lead to destruction. It's probably going to lead to misery. So you know what you need to do? Obey and honor your parents, because that is the path of blessing. And God says there's a great promise. You will have a better life if you listen and obey and honor your parents. All right, so we're going to put some application to this sermon. You guys ready to apply what you've learned? Let's go over again one more time, okay? Who is the creator? God, what are we? His creation. So we should what?
Obey
Him. Perfect. Now, God has told us to obey who? Our parents, right? Our father and mother. Here's what we're going to do. Okay? We're going to get our O. With our father and mother, we are to obey them, and we are to honor them. All right. So, we're going to obey them by being very quiet when they tell you to be quiet. Why? Brother Corey's preaching the rest of the message, right? And then we're going to honor them right now. Here's what we're going to do. I want each one of you, in a second, to go back to your seats and to go up to your mother and your father, if they're both here, and I want you to give them a big hug and a big kiss. And here's what I want you to say. Mom and Dad, I love you. I honor you. Can y'all do that? So, big hug. Do the big hug. Okay? Do the big kiss. Everybody do a big kiss. I love you and I honor you. Are y'all ready for that? Y'all think I can do that? All right. One, two, three. Go love and honor your mother and daddy. Give these kids a hand. They were great. I want to see some hugs and some kisses going on. I can't hear any smacking. Moms and dads, did we all get the hugs and kisses? Do I need to come and apply? Tucker, did we get the hug? All right, we got it. I got the thumbs up from Dad. Good job. I like that. All right. Children, again, super important to obey your father and mother and honor them. And just because you met that cutoff at fifth grade so you couldn't come down on the steps here, doesn't mean you're exempt from this. Teenagers, this is what God wants from you. He wants you to honor and obey your parents. I just spent a week at camp with 61 middle schoolers, and I'm still recovering from that. But it was amazing to talk to some of the kids as we're walking from place to place, because I knew I was kind of preaching on this, and I would just kind of quiz them, what do you think God really wants from you right now? And I never got the response, honor and obey my parents. And then I would say, you know what I think is super important to God? That you honor and obey your parents. And for the most part, kids would be like, really? Like, God really cares that much about that? And absolutely yes. I tell teenagers a lot, you can tell a lot of how you're growing in Christ and your relationship with God by how you treat your parents. I have a lot of kids. They seem like they're doing so well. They're leaders in the youth group. And then when I drop them off to their parents, it's immediate dishonor and disobedience. And I'm like, man, they're missing it. They're missing so much because what God wants from children primarily is to love Him with all their hearts, all their soul, and all their minds. But I think, you know, if we could do like the second greatest command for kids would be to obey and honor their parents. That's huge. So kids, really work on this. Really think through, how can I be a blessing to mom and dad and not a burden? I mean, I think that's huge. If we could really get that, how can I serve mom and dad, not always make them serve me? How can I serve my brothers and sisters, not always wanting them to serve me? How can I be a blessing? So when mom and dad, when I come home from school, it's not like, oh no, the kids are home. All right, let's just get through till bedtime. But it's, you're a joy. Because you're having family time and you're playing together. And yes, you're going to make some mistakes, but overall, you're being a blessing to your parents. That's what we want to work through as kids. Obey and honor your father and mother. So now, we're going to very quickly transition into fathers and parents primarily. But here in the scripture, Paul addresses the fathers. He says this, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now, I don't want to get into a whole lot of dissecting this verse, because over the next 2 weeks, as Brother Ricky told us, we're going to look at parenting. And what I want us to do is to come in and look at from birth to 12. What should we be focused on during those years? What does God primarily want us to do during those years? What does the Bible have to say about those years? And then the week after that, we're going to come in and look at that word that makes a lot of you guys cringe, and that is the teenage years, right? We're going to look. How can we approach those not with this scary look of I'm just shaking, but I'm encouraged to get my kids as teenagers because I'm so excited about what God can do through them. So we're going to think about how can we do this? How can we truly raise our children in the discipline and instruction, that twofold way? There's instruction, there's teaching, but there's also discipline involved in that. How can we put those two together and truly raise our kids in the way of the Lord? Now, as we said, it was shocking for Paul to probably address the kids. It was even more shocking for Paul to say this about the dads. Because as I said, dads had supreme authority over their kids. They could sell them as slaves. They could turn them into slaves. They could sentence them to death if they were disobedient. They could leave them at the doorstep upon birth. So fathers had absolute rule. There was no consideration of your kids' feelings in this day and age. And Paul says, that's not how God wants you to operate. God says you do not have supreme authority to do whatever you want to your kids. He says you're commanded not to provoke them, not to endanger them, not to cause them to be angered by your parenting, but rather bring them up, to nurture them, to be tender and kind to them, and bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So what I want us to do for the next couple of minutes is I just want to lay a foundation for these next 2 weeks as parents. And first, I want us to look at a theology of children. We're going to go through these really quickly. We're not going to spend a lot of time at any point, but I just want you to kind of get in your head where we're going. Here's a theology of children. Number one, children are blessings from the Lord. Amen, parents? Amen. Psalm 127 says, "Behold, children are a heritage or blessing from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be shamed at the gates when he speaks to his enemies." So children, they are a blessing to be accepted, not a burden to be prolonged. They are a blessing. And I can still remember when we met at Doe's Steakhouse for the first time, we told our parents that Katie was pregnant and we were getting ready to have a child. And it was this huge celebration. We were so excited. We got news of our second. We're so excited. Children are a blessing. Parents, you need to understand your kid is a blessing. I know they're a messy blessing who needs constant diaper changes at times. They've got runny nose. They're always sick. They're always crying. There's always whining. There's always something to be bought. There's always something going on. But they're a messy, stinky blessing, right? They are a blessing from the Lord. So we don't need to concentrate on all those things that sometimes we get agitated as parents by, but we need to look at those moments where, man, I've got so much love for this child because God has given me this child, and he or she is a blessing from the Lord. So we've got that. That's first. They're a blessing, okay? Now, if you have parents, you'll be able to identify with the second one if you have kids. If you don't have kids yet, you're going to think, I am a not very nice person, but this is absolutely true. Here's the second one. Children are foolish sinners. They are, okay? They come out not thinking rightly, but they need us to parent them. Proverbs 22:15 says, "Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him." So a child is bound up not with goodness and right thinking, but with foolishness. They are folly in their hearts, and what they need is discipline to drive that foolishness away. We see in Psalm 51, David says, "I was conceived and brought forth in iniquity," in sin. I have that original sin. If you look at Romans 5:12, it says that children inherit a sin nature from Adam. That first fall in the garden, we all inherit a sinful nature. So our kids are bent towards foolishness and sin. And it's our job as parents to help to guide them in the way they should go. Thirdly, children are commanded to obey their parents. We just looked at that. That's their command from the Lord. And then lastly, children will stand before Jesus when they die. Man, have you thought about that? Your kids will stand before Jesus and give an account when they die. Does your parenting perspective include that? It's not just, I want my kid to be the best athlete or to make the best grades, but I want them to stand before Jesus and Jesus say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Welcome into your eternal rest." That's what our parenting has to be visioned at, not just for the now, but for eternity. We're parenting for eternity. So that's a theology of children. Now I want to look at a theology of parents. And we're just going to hit 6 points. I'm going to say them, not spend much time on them because it's going to set us up for the next few weeks. Here's a theology of parent. Parenting is discipleship. That's huge. That's one of the biggest points you could get. Parenting is discipleship. God has placed you over your child to be their primary discipler, to teach them the Word, to pray with them, to lead them in the way of the Lord, just like Ephesians 6 says, just like Deuteronomy 6 says, all of these passages of Scripture that we're going to look with. But God has placed you primarily as the person who is going to be their spiritual leader in the home. The church, we help, we assist. You guys have the primary role, and we're going to show you how to do that. We're going to equip you over these next few weeks, so please come back. Parenting is direction, okay? Primarily, it's about direction, not advice, okay? Today, a lot of parents assume the role of advisor, and all they do is ask their kids, what do you want to do? Where do you want to go? What tool do you want to play with? What do you want? And it's always questions, and you're giving them advice, but you want them to choose whatever they want. And primarily, parenting is about giving them direction, not advice. We're going to talk about that. Parenting is concerned with holiness first, happiness second. And I think we've reversed that. I think for the most part, a lot of parents, they want their kids to be happy and not holy. And what we miss is, when our kids are holy, that is when they're going to be happy. And if our kids are happy and not holy, they're not going to be happy very long. They're going to get into sin. It's going to be misery. It's not going to last. So we got to think in parent-wise, we've got to parent for holy kids first, not just happy kids. Warren Wiersbe, in his translation of the verse we looked at, he gave a modern-day version of it. And he says, we would really like if Ephesians 6:1, this is how our culture would kind of read that. Parents, obey your children, for this will keep them happy and bring peace to the home. I mean, wouldn't that be easy? Parents, just obey your kids. Whatever they say, do it. They're going to be happy. They're going to be sugared up and just, it's going to be all good. And then your home will be happy. No one's screaming. No one's getting disciplined. You're just obeying whatever your kids say. That's not what God says. God says that we're the authority. They need to obey us, and we're going to talk about why that is so important. Parenting is generational. If you look at Psalm 79, it's a generation thing. It's that your father taught you so that you will teach your sons, and your sons will teach their sons, so that children even not born yet will call upon the name of the Lord and will rest in His hope. We're going to look at some of that. Parenting is expensive. And I don't mean just money-wise. It is money-wise. But it also is very costly of your time. If you do parenting right, it's going to affect your golf handicap. If you're going to do parenting right, it's going to affect the size of the deer you kill every year. If you do parenting right, it's going to affect how perfect your home looks like Martha Stewart's home. It's going to affect the way your yard looks. It's going to affect the way your shrubs look. I'm telling you, everything is not going to be perfect because you're going to be so much time with your children directing them in the way they should go. Parenting is expensive if you do it right. But here's the question. Is the cost of doing parenting right worth the benefit? And I think so. Because you'll be connected with your kids all throughout your whole life. And how great will it be when they rise up and call you blessed, when you see them raising their kids in the way of the Lord because you have shown them how through your life. It's definitely worth the cost of parenting. And the last thing we'll look at, parenting really works for better or worse. Parenting really does work either for good or for bad. See, there's this misconception that parents really don't have that much impact on their kids. We think their friends at school, all these other things have the most impact. I want to read two quotes as we close. Here's quote number one. Studies have shown that parents are the primary influence on their children's choices and decisions. And that is why we're proud to offer to parents, recognizing that parents have the greatest influence on their children's decision, the Family Talk program helps by encouraging open, honest communication between parents and children. Does anyone have a guess where that quote came from? What would you think? Maybe focus on the family right? Dr. Dobson, somewhere like that. Some Christian organization has got to be pumping this quote out. I want you to see who wrote this quote. Anheuser-Busch. This is not a Christian organization. This is a very unchristian organization saying, look, we realize that parents are the primary influence in our kids' lives, in the kids' lives. So we got to figure out how to reach the parents to get the kids. Here's another quote. Nearly 3 out of 4 parents believe their children's friends and classmates have the most influence. Yet contrary to what parents think, kids say mom and dad have the biggest impact on the choices they make. So this is an organization doing research on kids, and they're saying, kids are saying parents are their biggest influence. Where's this coming from? Is this Go Time Student Ministries? Is this, again, focus on the family? Who's pumping this out? MTV. MTV has done the research, and they're coming back, and they're saying, you know what we're finding? It's not the commercials that we push. It's not the friends. It's not all of these things. It's mom and dad who are having the most influence on the decisions that the kids are making. So here's what that means, mom and dad. Parenting really does work for the better or for the worse. You are the primary influence in your kid's life. So kind of as we know that now, we got to get serious about parenting. We got to see the great responsibility God has given us to parent and shepherd over our kids. There was a book called A Parent Privilege, and they did some research to some 3,000 youth students, and they asked them some questions, and I want to give you 4 results of these questions. Here's the first one. 98% of students wanted to pray with their parents as often or more often than they currently did. So asking youth kids, what do you want to do more with your parents? We want to pray more with our parents. 98%. 97% wanted to read the Bible with their parents as often or more often than they currently did. So here's kids. So we've got secular organizations saying parents are the primary influence in their kids' life. They are making the most difference. And now you've got kids saying, man, we really want to pray and read the Bible with our moms and dads. That's what Christian kids are saying. So think about these two things, and then let's flip to this next statistic. 10% reported reading the Bible with their parents very often. 10% of kids reported reading the Bible very often with their parents. 5% would be likely to follow parents' advice. Only 5% say, I'm not going to listen to mom and dad. So that means 95% are saying, I want mom and dad to pray. I want to read the Bible. I would love it if they did that. And I would listen to their advice if they would speak truth into my life. So as we see this, parents, I want us to hopefully come back these next 2 weeks, because hopefully we've got this burden of, whoa, this is a big responsibility. And I want to be that generational parent where I'm thinking, I want my great, great, great grandson to have the tools to teach his kids about God, because I've pumped that into my kids and my grandkids and my great-grandkids, and it's that legacy of children who are going to rise up and live for the glory of the Lord. So many families like yours can be a blessing that will eventually bless the nations. So children, what are we going to do when we get home? Let's hear it loud. What are we going to do? Obey our mom and dad. And we're going to do what?
Honor
our father and mother. Great job. All right. We are about dismissed. I'm going to pray. And then if you guys, you're free to go. We've got a few more minutes. We just went to Crossings for a whole week-long camp. So we put together a little video on that. So I'm going to show. It's about 3 minutes long if you want to stay around for that. We had a blast. Attendance clipboards. That's a good thing. If you have your attendance clipboards, go ahead and sign those and pass those down as we get ready to look at this video. I'm going to pray for you real quick, and then we'll close with the video. Father, I thank you for being our Father, for being that great example to us. God, I pray you would help these children obey and honor their father and mother. God, I pray you would help us as parents to think, how can we be the parents you've called us to be? We pray this in the power of Jesus' name. Amen.